Hi, Ted Ubish.
Hi, Elise. I'm stuck in a hole right now. Can you help me out?
Do you need a ladder?
No, I need somebody to help me out. It's maybe like a foot deep.
Oh, here you go. Here's a hand.
Okay, thank you. Okay, that was that bit. Hi, Ted Ubish. I'm Elise Giannatasio. Shit, I actually got that wrong.
How did you do that?
I don't know. Yes, welcome to Baby WikiQuest Mini Juniors, an ongoing experiment in short conversation and tiny research. This is a variant of WikiQuest, our show where we scour the depths of Wikipedia and,
talk about what we find.
Yes, we talk about what we find, we have a good conversation, we have a few laughs, we learn a thing or two, and honestly, I think you will too. So this is a short variation of the show. It's just about 20 or so minutes, because we know you have a busy day, and we're just trying to accommodate for your lifestyle.
Thank us.
Thank us. Please pay us. Thank us in monetary compensation.
Please give us a lot of money.
Just kidding.
Don't do that.
So that's a sound that indicates we play a sound every time we bring up a new article on Wikipedia. So, this article is William Lavery. William Lavery, born circa 1887, dead death unknown, was an English footballer who played for Field, Preston North End, Leicester Fosse, West Ham United, Belfast Celtic? Maybe. Middlesbrough, Raith Rovers, St. Mirren, Johnstone, and Port Vale in the period before and after World War I. This guy did a lot. He played for a lot of teams. I can't pronounce any of them.
Well, I don't. Where is he from? Oh, he's an English football. I like how they call them footballers. Footballer. All right, that was a mistake.
Yeah, it was a mistake. I don't like it.
The second it came out of my mouth, I was like, "That
was
bad." Well,
you're big for admitting it.
Thank you. I'm trying my best.
Don't worry about it.
So we're
gonna have a good time.
Wait, they don't know his day of death?
Nope.
So he was born in 1887, and they're just like, we know he's probably not still alive, but we're not sure when he stopped existing.
They're just giving, like, you know, you can give that an educated guess, usually.
But there seems to be, like, a lot about his life, so why wouldn't someone, like, follow up on that?
I don't know. Maybe they just don't want to. Maybe he was a jerk.
No, they don't say that on Wikipedia. I wanna start having people, you know, write their experience. You know, if they're writing a Wikipedia article on a person, what do they think of this person? You know, what is their demeanor? If they've researched this person so much, are
we
they
can
nice?
Check the talk page.
Are they mean?
The talk page doesn't have anything.
I mean, he doesn't seem like someone that people still talk about if they don't even know when he died.
I don't know. I mean, it's just like, it's weird because he played for so many teams. Hey, Elise, you want to go do a new article?
Sure, Ted. Let's go.
Ooh. Stranded in the Jungle is a song originally recorded by the American doo-wop group The Jayhawks. It was written by Ernestine Smith and the band's first tenor, James Johnson. The Jayhawks' version of the song peaked at number 18 on the Billboard magazine best-selling popular retail records chart.
The Jayhawks are, like, looking slick. Like,
yeah,
look
seriously.
At those guys.
They're just, like, they're well-put-together group of lads.
They're all standing in a line. They're like, hey.
The B-side to the single. Wait, first off, I really like the background.
Which is a lot of abstract shapes.
I mean, what shapes aren't abstract?
Oh, good point.
Thank you. I mean, you're not wrong. It still has a bunch of shapes. It's got some nice gradients going on. We got some nice,
greens,
is that like a
blues.
Periwinkle? Is that a periwinkle in the background?
I would call that a periwinkle.
I'd call that a periwinkle. I like myself a good old periwinkle.
We've got some oranges.
Yeah, we
some
got the
golds.
We got our and we got some nice type going on. It's just some regular, you know, it's nothing special. Just some sans serif black
you can
text.
Tell that.
Yeah, it's sans serif. It doesn't have serifs.
Oh, you okay? Oh, that was dumb.
I'm
thank
sorry.
You for correcting my... Thank you.
It's okay, Elise. It's okay.
he tapped my shoulder with, like, the pads of his fingers on the very edge of my shoulder. Like, there. I don't want to touch you, but it's okay.
because girls have cooties, right?
Not me.
What do you have?
Hair on my head and eyes on my face and a nose. And I also have two hands, which I think is different than most other people.
Let's keep going with this bit.
This is a good bit.
No, let's keep going with it.
Oh, I also have feet, but I don't know if that matters.
Yeah? I mean, it matters.
I mean, it's fine. They help me to walk, but...
Anyways, what I was saying was the only actually notable thing about this cover is that underneath the title of the song, Stranded in the Jungle, it says in parentheses, the original version with an exclamation point.
With an exclamation point. Like, they're very excited about mm-hmm. this. That's cool.
I mean, they look like they're looking forward to it.
They're all smiling uh-huh. in anticipation. They're looking off camera.
Mm-hmm.
What are they looking at? Is it the jungle?
In 2003, Adam Ant embarked on an ill-fated attempt to raise awareness of the plight of the endangered mountain gorilla in Central Africa by reworking Stand and Deliver into Save the Gorilla. Save the Gorilla was part of a 5-track EP of jungle-themed songs, Stranded in the Jungle included, set for release on 17 November 2003.
Wait, is Stand and Deliver like, Stand and Deliver, I'm yours?
I don't know.
Do, 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 do. That one?
I don't know.
Stand and Deliver, doo doo. Can we get a sample?
No, we can't.
Okay, that's fine.
Hey, Elise.
Yeah?
Want to do a new article?
Oh, yeah. That was cute.
Z-Tree Nguyen, an orthodox file manager for Microsoft Windows, is a heavily improved clone of Xtree. Like Xtree, it logs, preloads file names and attributes into memory so that search and sort operations are extremely fast. By making use of the large memories of modern computers, it allows the logging of millions of files. So this is like one of those crazy. This is like a crazy thing that like people do sometimes. Like they get like replacements for like the regular file manager on the computer.
Yeah.
It's like overwhelming for me.
Oh, this is from 2010. Oh, so that isn't that old.
It's not.
The photo. It looks like one of the. You know.
Yeah, it looks like a DOS prompt.
Yeah. It looks like when your computer was having problems. You know, way back in the day.
Yeah.
Did you ever have one of those computers that when you turned it on, it made like all those jungle noises?
No.
Oh, maybe that was just mine. Whenever we would turn on my computer when I was like really little, and it was like one of those like huge box
beige.
Computers. Yeah, and you would turn it on, and it would have like this elephant noise, and then it would like start with the drums, and it was like. And I was like, oh no.
That's excellent.
It's on. It's alive.
You were like, oh no? Oh no, computer.
I was afraid. No, it was good. I loved the computer because it allowed me to play Reader Rabbit online.
I just played Math Blaster.
What is Math Blaster?
You blasted math in that game.
Nice.
Thank you. Hey, Lise, new article?
Yeah.
Big fan.
Oh, that was a good
Big
one.
Big fan. Wolves and Wishes is the fourth studio album by American multi-instrumentalist Dosh. It was released on May 13, 2008 on the Anticon label. So we don't have much to say about these ones because we have not listened to these albums. However, what do you think by this album cover, what do you think the album would be like? If you guys want to look up the album, it's Wolves and Wishes.
It looks like an earth, and then there are houses all over the earth, and then there's trees on one side, and then there's like a fireman
you're
on the other side.
You're just explaining what, you're just narrating what
I know,
it has on there.
But if you look at the deeper meaning,
okay,
I think the fireman is going to go to the trees and set the world on fire.
Is that a fireman, though? It's a man on fire.
I think because his head is aflame, he's gonna go over and set the trees on fire.
But that's not a fireman.
Speaking of this, have you ever seen, do you know Kick the PJ?
No.
Online?
Uh-uh.
Well, his thing is, tiny planet exploration, and basically, identical to this, where you take, like, a flat plane, and you warp it. So that it looks like a little planet and that you're standing on like a planet.
All right.
Even though it should be like a flat field or whatever. And it looks like this to me.
I think the world's flat.
How? What is your proof?
I like to stand on the earth and I like to say, hey, this is all one thing, and I'm going to walk out the edge one day, because I'm going to die.
Where is the edge of the world? I need a destination, Ted Hubisch.
A few blocks from here.
I never venture out far enough.
I personally think that what I get from this album cover, it looks like it's being printed on some recycled paper, eco-friendly paper. We're saving the planet. We're saving the world. I think that these doodles on the recycled paper, they indicate that we, too, can have our own contribution to this...
this thing called life.
Yes. And we all live. That's my theory.
That's a good theory. You don't think the fireman...
Pack that one up in a suitcase and call it done. And take that one to the bank. Kill two birds with that stone.
Does that mean we need a new article?
Yes, we do.
Oh, it was good. Mm-hmm. It was so good. Yes, Morvant is located in southern foothills of the northern range of the island of Trinidad. That took a while to get there.
Mm-hmm. Look at this picture, though.
Yeah, all the houses seem to be on a hill.
Mm-hmm. Nice colors.
Wow, that's very nice, gorgeous. Yeah, lots of nice trees.
Morvant was originally a village that housed many working-class families who made their livelihoods within the homes and businesses of the relatively more affluent middle-class people living in the nearby capital city of Port of Spain.
Huh.
Fortunately, there are still many older Trinidadians who can remember and tell stories about how in the late 1940s and early 1950s, long before the political advent of Eric Williams and the PNM, the Trinidad government undertook Morvant in an innovative community-based housing development program that brought greater prosperity and stability to Morvant. Huh.
That's all true, I think.
Well, this article does not cite any sources.
Oh, yeah, actually, I was just going to bring that up after I said that sounds true.
Let's check the talk page. Wow. This article needs some cleanup. Pronto.
Pronto. This article isn't neutral. Oh, so...
It seems like it's trying to sell Morvant as an ideal location, blissfully ignoring the fact that it has its share of problems with regards to crime.
Ooh.
This article needs to reduce the gushing and add these details in. Well,
I mean, you could just change it to like Morvant tourism.
You can't just have like an ad on Wikipedia, though.
I wish. That would be crazy if you allowed ads on Wikipedia. Like, people or just companies could like edit their own Wikipedia.
Well, there's an ad for Jimmy Whale's face.
Jimbo. My man Jimbo Wales.
Come on our show. Hey, Elise.
Yeah?
Random article?
Bam.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's my deal. Chris Lynch is an American writer of books for young people. His works include Inexcusable, a finalist for the U.S. National Book Award for Young People's Literature, and Iceman, Shadowboxer, Goldust, and Slot Machine. All ALA best books for young adults. Free Will. This is a friggin' run-on sentence.
That was also a very strange voice.
It was a good voice for good people and good boys.
That's why I couldn't hear it.
You're not a good
guess one? Which one of those things I'm not.
Oh, shit.
I want to know if I've read any of these.
Well, maybe you haven't, maybe you have. There's a few things. Me, Dead Dad, and Alcatraz.
Yeah, I was just going to look at that one.
That's a book name.
The He-Man Woman Haters Club. That's something, all right.
Jeez.
I don't know. Extreme Elvin. Oh, he wrote a lot about, I guess, wars. He has a lot of Vietnam books and World War II books.
True.
I don't think I've read any of these.
That's hilarious.
Oh, well, see, I used to go all the time to my local library and, like, take out a stack of, like, 12 books.
I love a stack. Read.
Yeah, and I would go and I would have my huge stack, and I would go every week on Wednesday, and I would get my stack for the week, and I would read them all and then bring them back, and I went through,
and
like,
you just read your stack, and you get your stack.
Yeah, I love saying, well, because it was quite large. If you think about 12 books, I was like, I've always been this height. I don't know if you... I'm like 5'4". I like had this huge stack of books and I would just toddle around.
Wait, you've always been this height for how long?
I've been this height since fifth grade.
What?
Isn't that crazy? I had my growth spurt super early. I was the tallest kid in like kindergarten up through like third grade, and then I stopped growing and everyone else got taller than me.
I was always the smallest, the shortest kid.
Really?
Always.
Oh, well, you're still shorter than me.
Well, yeah, but not that much.
How tall are you?
I'm about 5'3".
Oh. I don't know why I just said, oh. I mean, I think I knew that. I've but also, like I've seen, I've, I'm saying, you were always the shortest in your classes?
Yeah, I was. I was like at one point I was down here.
For those of you who can't see, Ted just stood up and put a hand, like, right above
his stomach. So one time I was shorter. That's my story.
At one time, he was short.
I was shorter once, now I'm taller.
I feel like that's the same for me, but it seems not so.
Huh. Interesting. Haley's.
Yeah?
Button.
Woohoo! That's the best sound I've ever heard.
What is going on with this letter? It's called Zidizilo Weiss. And it's spelt all weird. It's spelt like it has a weird... It's spelt... Okay, let's spell this thing out. Z-D-Z-I. L with a cross through it. L with a dash through it. O-W-I-C-E. So, this isn't a very interesting article. However,
because it's only two sentences.
Apologies to the people. Zilla Weiss.
Wait, have it speak.
Okay.
Zilovici.
Ooh.
That's a very nice word.
Zilovici.
Zilovici.
Oh, slowed it down.
So, okay, so that's how it's pronounced, I guess. But what is this L with the lowercase L with a cross through it? Cross L with the okay. Described in English as L with a stroke, it's a letter of the Polish, Kashubian, Sorbian, Lacinta. I don't know how to say it. There's a lot of languages here. It represents a continuation of the Proto-Slavic palatal L. See dark L.
Oh, it's evil.
Yes. In most non-European languages, it represents a voiceless alveolar lateral fricative, or similar sound.
Dang. That's a dark L.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was stretching.
In Polish, L with stroke is used to distinguish historical dark velarized L from clear L. The Polish L with stroke sounds similar to the English W. Okay.
Oh, that's interesting.
Huh. Yeah, okay. It's just pronounced like W.
It doesn't look anything like W, which is kind of tripping me up when I have to read it in a word.
Why do they have to be more languages? That's insane.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Can't believe it.
Everyone should just speak one language.
Yes.
The human language.
Braille.
It wouldn't work, because there's English
Braille.
Why not? Braille. There's different types of Braille.
Everybody should speak Braille.
Well, you read Braille one letter at a time.
Everybody should speak Braille.
That's your opinion. That's all on you. That's all. Oh, we could all do sign language.
No, we could all do Braille.
I mean...
Can you feel me? Haha.
What about people who can't feel things?
No.
What about people who are dead?
Well, that's just about all the time we have for Baby WikiQuest Mini Juniors this week. Join us next week for a real deal episode of WikiQuest. Have some fun with us, and honestly, just hang out.
Subscribe to us on iTunes.
Yes, our website is wikiquestshow.org. As always, we're always looking for sounds, new sounds to play when we press the random article button, and you know, it's really important that we get more and more of those. So just go to wikiquestshow.org/sounds for more details on that. And, well, our website is wikiquestshow.org. And as always, we appreciate you all listening in. We appreciate all the feedback and all the support. Please share the show around if you want to hear some more. That's the best way to show your support. And honestly, just have a good time.
You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at WikiQuest. You can also find us on lightswitchpodcast.com.
Yes. Our show is wikiquestshow.org, our website.
Sounds good.
I'm so tired. Let's close up. Let's shut down this episode. What's the last thing you want to say?
Thank you to Light Switch Podcast, and thank you to our wonderful producer, Wiki Wrangler Walborn, Emily Walborn. She is good. And no thanks to Greg Farrington.
Oh, no. We're not saying no thanks to Greg Farrington.
Oh, thanks to Greg Farrington for doing not much.
No. The line is, audio engineering is not provided by Greg Farrington.
Oh, okay.
We're not, like, throwing him under the bus. We're just saying that he didn't show up.
I mean, that's sort of throwing one
of the
bus.
No, we're not, though. Catch you later, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Bye.